Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
So we've been talking about a variety of things on today's show, including my middle school PE teacher, Mr. McConnon, who I can't remember. I know for a fact somebody called in. By the way, Anna, my wife, is joining us here, but somebody called in and said that in middle school, late 60s, early 70s, they were required in middle school to swim naked in their middle school class. We did not in my middle school, but no, I tell you this, nobody was showering in my middle school. Mr. McConnon, the PE teacher, was like, make sure you guys shower. And as soon as he turned his back, man, we were throwing our jeans and our corduroys on and we were getting out of that locker room as fast as we could. What do you remember from middle school PE?
I think everybody has like a horror story from middle school PE. Ours was, I don't want to name the teacher.
Name the teacher.
I can't.
Why?
Because.
Teacher might be listening.
I grew up in Portland. This could be bad.
How bad could this be?
Well, we had a couple teachers for PE, one of whom had a proclivity for really short shorts.
The teacher did?
Yeah. And I think many of us were traumatized when we went through the gymnastics portion of PE.
Oh, man.
Because it was just watching him demonstrate.
Oh, it was like, wait a minute, him?
Yes.
I was thinking this was so...
Sorry, did I bury the lead?
Oh.
Yeah. So this particular PE teacher just was demonstrating over and over the somersaults. It was really remarkable, not in a good way.
Wow.
Love you, Park Rose Middle School.
Oh, man. It's like a Saturday Night Live episode.
Yeah, it really...
Watch Mr. McGee do the somersaults.
Yeah.
Mr. McGee, you need to get a pair of properly fitting board shorts instead of whatever it is, your NBA-style 1976... shorts that you're wearing out there. We talked about that on today's show. We also, by the way, I had a teacher that was, and I mean this with great affection, he was a little nutty. And I looked him up during the commercial break. I told the story on air. He had been in the plane crash with the Cal Poly football team in 1960. He survived the plane crash. There were 48 players on the trip. 22 survived of the plane crash. So he came out of that a little squirrely. Okay. So he would tell us stories about how he pulled people out of the burning plane, and it was horrific. I mean, it was horrific. I looked him up during the commercial break. I found a story. He now lives in suburban Las Vegas. He made a hole in one. He's 80 years old now. And there's a photo of him at age 80, and he's a shadow of himself. I don't want to age. I don't want to age like that. You know what I mean? Like, I saw my grandfather in his 90s, and I know my grandfather was a striking, handsome man in his 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s. And by the time he was 94 and changing in the gym locker room, he knew. He was like, can you help me over here? And I'm like, all right. You know, aging sucks.
Oh, it's all in your attitude toward it, right? You got to embrace it.
Well, I'm okay, like, because I'm still in my 40s. I'm okay with that. Like, I'm embracing it. But I'm just saying 40 years from now, as I'm turning to my grandson and going, hey, could you help me put my swim trunks on in the gym? I won't blame my grandson for, like, looking away while trying to get my feet through the through the holes in the trunks.
Yeah, but see, you won't do that because you're so independent. You would rather, you'll flop onto the ground before you ask for help.
I'll be like those 1960s kids who were swimming naked. I'll be out there skinny dipping at the local gym.
Wait, I don't, why did they have to swim naked? I don't understand.
He claimed it was a Midwest thing. I don't think it was a Midwest thing.
It's a regional thing?
Lined them up.
I gotta know for mothers in the Midwest.
I can tell you right now, this would have been... like To Catch a Predator stuff. Like, this would have been like in this era.
Can you imagine?
Parents would have sued.
Oh,
kids would have sued.
We would have lost our heads.
There would have been nothing. By the way, you're doing, like a lot of parents right now, you are in charge in our household of the digital learning that's going on. How's school going today?
Oh my gosh. Can you suspend your own children? No, they're actually, we're very fortunate. The kids are, you know, they're good learners. The most overwhelming part was logging onto the school website and downloading just reams and reams of worksheets and, you know, activities that I guess we're supposed to be doing. I freaked out last night because I was like, oh, crud, yesterday was day one. We're already behind.
We blew off the first day of school.
We did. We blew off the first day.
We're out.
And this is just supposed to be the supplemental
stuff.
I'm
impressed with the public school. The public school's got its act together. Like, right? I mean, I walked in and they're doing worksheets. It looked like a normal classroom experience.
Yeah, I mean, again, I've said all along, I've never had more appreciation for the educators in our kids' lives and the people who educated us growing up, because we're in contact with the teachers. Like, I got a great video from our five-year-old's teacher. She's trying to still get everything set up in Google Classroom and all that. And, you know, there's a learning curve, too, for some of the teachers as far as the technology goes. But, yeah, it's intense. Like, she's five, right? She's in kindergarten. We got materials for every subject. We got math materials.
Good.
Social studies.
Gotta learn.
Reading, writing.
Gotta learn. Arithmetic. You gotta get it all.
All that. Even P.E. We have P.E. assignments.
Take them out. Make them swim. Make sure they shower after. Hey, let me ask you, your favorite teacher. What teacher comes to mind when I say, how about this one? Instead of favorite, influential teacher. What teacher from age senior year of high school or before was the most influential in you becoming the person you are?
Mm.
Who do I need to thank?
Well, we've had her over for dinner. Sally Dowdy, for sure. Who is still a teacher. Like, she's still teaching. She was not only beautiful and graceful, to me, she looked like Princess Diana, just in my own life. It didn't dawn on me that, like, I'm a little Asian girl, but I remember going to my first haircut, my first, like, real haircut outside of my home, and asking for a haircut that looked like my teacher, but also bringing along a picture of Princess Diana to tell the lady at Fagan's hair school that this is what I wanted to look like.
Every little girl wanted to be Princess Diana.
Right.
And none of the boys wanted to be Prince Charles. Because we all saw him and we were like, those are his real ears? No way.
Oh my gosh.
We don't want that.
You're so mean. But I mean, she was just one of those teachers that connected so well with her kids. And she did things that I don't know that teachers do nowadays or can do. Like, I remember she invited us three at a time to come to her house for dinner.
Yeah, today they arrest her on the spot.
But like, it was so
special. What are you
special
up to?
Yes. To be, and it was during the school year. Like, we would go three at a time, and we would be treated to a dinner in her home with her family. And
what did that mean to you, being a kid that grew up the way you grew up?
Oh, what does that mean?
I'm just the way you grew up. Like you guys were running a business. Like, I can imagine that family dinner in the fashion that Mrs. Dowdy had it was not similar to what you were getting on a regular basis.
Yes, that's true. Because our family dinners were interrupted by, you know, people ringing the manager's doorbell wanting to check in at the motel. Yes, in that sense, it was really cool to go see, you know, what kind of a more functional family dinner looked like. And even more so, I guess, it was just the melding of worlds. Like, when you're nine, the mystery of what your teacher's house looks like and functions like is looms pretty large. So you get to solve that mystery in person. It was pretty awesome.
I had in sixth grade Mr. LaCursey, and I've mentioned him before because he ran a menagerie of animals in the back of the room, from turtles to fish to snakes and all sorts of animals all in the room, and the class took care of him.
So he was like low-key Tiger King?
He was like, he was like Dr. Doolittle little bit, all right? And everybody in the school wanted his class, and I was lucky enough to get in his class. Like, there were four sixth grades, I got his class. So I got put in charge of certain animals and stuff. But he did a very similar thing where he would take two students to lunch each day off campus.
Whoa.
And he had a van.
Oh, yeah. That could happen.
So that ain't flying in today's world.
That's so sad, isn't it? Because yeah. We remember those things. But like, those are the things that stuck out to us.
He would go to A&W. Okay. And this is the other thing.
Okay.
And what we learned, we always just saw, oh, he drives a van. What we found out once you pile into that van was that it was a wheelchair equipped van. His wife had multiple sclerosis.
Oh.
He, it required him to have, you know, take care of her. And so it sparked a whole discussion about MS and what is MS and why the MS walk was so important to him. And we would sit down at the A&W and we would get a root beer and we would get a cheeseburger. And I can still remember the booth we sat in because I went a couple times and he would always sit in the same booth. And, Mr. LaCursey, he's probably not listening to this, but soft spot in my heart because the same thing. Got to know him a little bit outside of the whole classroom experience.
I mean, isn't that interesting that the thing you remember about the teacher you consider the most influential really has nothing to do with the academics? Like, I know Mrs. Dowdy taught me how to write cursive in third grade, thereabouts. But that's not what sticks out to me. It was her heart. It was how much you could tell she really cared about her students.
See, such an important thing. And Mr. LaCursey went on to work at the junior high. I was an eighth grader when he moved over to the junior high as a science teacher. And he called me in the summer before his science, his debut. And he said, you understand how I run my classroom. It'd been two or three years since I'd been out of it. He said, I need you, instead of taking biology as an eighth grader, you're going to be my lab assistant, you and another student. And I thought that was really cool, but really what it meant is I was cleaning all the cages and cleaning the tanks, siphoning water out of a turtle tank, and you know, but I got to miss science class to do that.
Again, low-key Tiger King.
Yeah, I got to drink water that was out of a fish tank. But you're siphoning out, when you're cleaning those tanks, you put the tube in the tank.
What?
And then, yeah, this is how you get, how do you think you clean the water out of a tank?
I don't know.
We're talking circa 1986 here.
Don't you scoop the fish out into a separate bowl and then empty the
tank? No,
no. You're siphoning it with your mouth.
No. You have a giant tank. I'm talking about a huge fish tank.
Okay.
You put the tube in the tank. You might have a large size bucket that you would get like at a hardware store. You need to take about half the water out of the tank, and then you're just going to refill about half. You're not going to refill the whole tank.
Uh-huh.
So you would siphon through the hose, and then it creates a suction, and it would empty out into the bucket. And you, the other lab technician, are now dumping buckets of water and then refilling new buckets of fresh water into the tank. So you're sort of cleaning out half the water once a week. It keeps the water from going all green and murky.
But none of the water actually goes into your mouth.
Except when you misjudge the suction, which happened about every other time.
Gross.
You just go, and you spit out some water. Hey, you know, a little fish food in it, whatever.
Sounds like Mr. LaCursey had it good there.
Very glamorous.
He figured it out.
It was a really glamorous assignment. Thank you for telling us about your favorite teachers.
Oh, she's great. Oh, I have many favorite teachers, but that's just when you ask, that's who comes to mind.
Right.
She also taught me to stop chasing boys on the playground.
That's another subject. We'll get to that in a second. Leave it right here. You got the bald-faced truth statewide. Interest rates are low, you know, because the Fed lowered the interest rates to help stimulate the economy. Here's somebody who's looking to take advantage of that. Lower your monthly payment, take some cash out, and also not have a mortgage payment for a couple of months. Call Golden Oak Lending for a free mortgage checkup today. Their average cash out customer saves more than $900 a month. Plus, as I mentioned, you'll make no payments for 2 months. That's a nice breather from the constant bills, and you can start fresh with no credit card debt if you like. Yes, this can actually happen. You can apply from the safety of your own home by calling Golden Oak Lending at 503-455-GOLD. That's 503-455-G-O-L-D. There's no risk to call. If Golden Oak Lending can't close your loan, the appraisal is no charge. Golden Oak Lending, 503-455-G-O-L-D. My wife has popped into the home studio. She's taken a break from the teaching that she is doing, the digital learning that is going on in the other room. Several news stories today caught my eye. One of them, a woman in Texas who is was bragging on Snapchat that she had coronavirus and then went to a Walmart and was filming herself coughing on people. She has been arrested and cited with making a terrorist threat. They don't know yet if she actually had it. These are strange times, but it seems like strange brings out the crazy, too.
Well, that's probably just not someone who's well, right?
Like, you're nicer than me. It's evident so many ways, but there it is. There's one of them.
Like that woman, yeah. She needs help in a number of ways.
I said off the top of the show that I'm betting on mankind. I'm betting on human beings here because I have a lot of faith in people. What are you betting on?
Same kind of thing. I think we've seen people really rise to the occasion and pull together and be their best in this. I think we've seen some ugliness too. But I think that it's drawn friends closer together. It's drawn families closer together. You're checking in with people you might not otherwise, you know, want to check in or think that you need to check in with.
Give me an example of that. Because like during today's show, I got a text from Ann Schatz, who's the broadcaster of the Pac-12 Network, ESPN. And she just texted and said, hey, I hope you and your family are doing well. I listened to the show yesterday. A great interview with Sabrina Ionescu. And I just wanted to make sure your family is okay. I appreciate getting a note like that. It made me want to send notes to other people, sort of unprompted.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that going on. And I think, you know, just based on how we've started this week, you can tell people are grasping for hope. I think humans are by nature a hopeful bunch. And you can tell we're just looking for any shred of good news that this is turning the right way. So I have faith in that.
You are not as into Tiger King, the documentary series on Netflix, as I am. But what strikes you about that series? We're like 4 or 5 episodes into 7 episode series.
Do we really have to talk about
Tiger King? I just want to know from a film. You're a person that knows documentaries and, you know, entertainment and investigative journalism. What are your takeaways from watching like 4 or 5 episodes of that series?
It's number one is the access, right? You and I both know how difficult it is to get that kind of access for an extended period of time with people who are willing to show you all aspects of their life, good or bad. And clearly that guy, I don't even know his real name, was willing to provide that access.
Joe Exotic.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And so, I mean, that's what's riveting to me. And then just the cast of characters that was around them. I mean,
it just gets crazier and nuttier.
The mystery of the lady who's missing an arm, come to find out she's missing an arm because the tiger ate it.
I leave that show, I feel better about myself.
Oh, it's like that's Jerry Springer effect.
Back tomorrow.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.